Thank you for coming today. Good to see you, church family. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Thankful my family did, and trust that you did as well. So much to be thankful for, no matter what. I'd like to intro the service this morning by reading Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12, and give us a chance to ponder it before we begin to worship together. He, as in the great Lord God, he has made the earth by his power, and has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. The one who created it all out of nothing knows how to make something out of something. So he's making a great thing out of our lives. Let's stop and ponder that before we begin singing. You're so good, God. Thank you so much for our church and our gathering this morning. Thank you for those that are online with us. Lord, may you do a great work through this morning, this hour that we have together. May you bless and may you enjoy the worship because it comes from sincere and pure hearts. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking forward to the day when I can cast my crown at his feet. He is King, he is Lord. Let's stand and sing together, crown him. Well, a great way to start the service, Father, to recognize that we will crown your Son. He is King of Glory. He has done it all. Thank you so much. And Father, thank you for this year. We can say thanks. We need to say thanks because you are doing a good work in us. So thank you. Thank you for a time to have Thanksgiving together. But we thank you this morning, and we have the time of Thanksgiving all year round because of what Jesus did in our lives. Thank you. Pray we'll have a great service together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. And Christmas music is back. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know that song, Go Tell It on a Mountain, that would you, if you had a chance to just go on the hill by the river and had a megaphone and could just tell the whole community here in Tawanda that Jesus Christ is Lord, would you do that? That's the spirit behind that song. And that's the privilege we have all year round. Let's stand again. Three. Christ on the road to you. Amen. Let's remain standing for prayer, please.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we owe you everything. We owe you our very souls. We owe you our praise of thanksgiving. You have blessed us with much. For you blessed us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and how much more will you freely give us all things? Because you've given us your best. And we need to realize that. May the Spirit fill us to understand and realize the power of the love of Christ in us and that rich grace that came through us through Jesus. Father, we thank you for being able to gather here today to share fellowship and the love of Christ with one another. We pray, Father, that your protection will be upon us from COVID. We pray for those who are suffering from COVID, that you would heal them and give them strength, give their families faith as they pray for them. We pray, the Lord, that you'd raise them up. We thank you, Lord, for all the material blessings that you've blessed us with, because we have been blessed with much. We often find ourselves complaining about the things you've blessed us with. We pray, Father, that you would convict our hearts heavily of that, because without you, we have absolutely nothing. We proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That verse has to be reality in our lives. We need to love you and love you with all our hearts, soul, and might. Father, that's what you require of us, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. What you bless us with is meant to be shared with others in need, and there are people in need, and there are times we're in need, but you promised to fulfill those needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. You have promised to strengthen us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What a wonderful, powerful promise that is. Because we live in a sin-cursed world, and that world is a difficult world to live in. So we see all this, the injustices and the corruption and all that surrounds us. There are hurting people in our world because of sin and because of corruption. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of those around us that may need an encouraging word, maybe something that we can give them to bless them and show the love of Christ. Father, we pray that you would convict us of any of our sin, the sin that so easily besets us in this race that is set before us. We would pray, Father, that you would show us that sin. David pray, if there any way of pain in me, remove it from me and show me the everlasting way. We want to walk in the everlasting way, a way of life. We want to walk in the newness of life. We want to glorify you in this life. So I pray, Father, for those who may be hurting today, maybe emotionally, physically, spiritually, maybe all three. We pray that your all-sufficient grace would become a reality in our life, that true power comes from God. When we are weak, then we are strong, because we are made strong in the power of God. To him be the glory. Thank you again, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time of fellowship. We would pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Spirit and that we would leave here today different people, and that your Spirit would fill us as we walk through the week, glorifying you in all that we say and all that we do with hearts of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. And now it's time to focus on the Christmas season and what that really means to believers in the cross. There's nothing going on in this world right now that wasn't prophesied in Scripture at one point or another, and nothing that can't be overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God and everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thought that long ago, very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay. And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the Son of Just, the Carpenter, but for whom the angels sing. And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child
with whom they laughed and sang would die for them someday.
Who would have thought this little child would make a blind man see,
feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and say sinner free.
Who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said would take away the sins of man and rise up from the dead.
And I believe I will always sing this little child is the King.
And many years have come and gone, still this world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen, only time has made a change. Nation against nation, and brother against brother. Men so filled with hatred, killing one another, and over half the world is starving, while a banner of decency is torn. Debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born. And fools who march to win the right to justify
falling from within. Still in the midst of this darkness, there's a hope, a light that burns. This little child, the King of Kings, one day will return. And I will always sing this little child is the King. And I will always sing this little child. This little child was who the prophet said will return to judge this world, the living and the dead. Oh, can't you see that long ago and very far away, this little child, our only hope, was born a king that day.
Virgin mother, a baby in a manger, the angels and the shepherds. It's a story heard throughout the world by believers and non-believers alike. Christmas arrives with gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace. At no other season is the world more receptive to the news that God loves the world. But no matter how familiar we are with the Christmas story, sharing our faith can be difficult. In the Bible, the Apostle John gives us a solution. One verse makes it as simple as possible. And it's a Christmas sermon that you can preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Even though these words are familiar, we cannot take them for granted. The reality is that God loves everyone. Jesus was sent to rescue us from our sins. No matter who you are or what you've done, you can experience eternal life by simply believing in Jesus as your Savior. John 3:16 sums up perfectly the good news of Christmas. It's a Christmas sermon that you can preach, and the world is waiting to hear it.
Amen. And maybe today you just watched that video and your heart is ready to receive Christ as Savior. Maybe someone in here, maybe someone watching online. Why wait? I watched that video and I think about this year, and I think about the need in some parts of my life to hit that reset button. And I think to myself, if there ever was a time in my life to make sure people knew what Christmas was all about, now was the time. And if there's something hindering that from happening, that I will come up and tell people about Christmas, especially over the next few weeks now that we've cleared Thanksgiving. What is it? And Lord, get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't want anything to hinder me from sharing Christ. So just challenge us this morning to think about that. Now's the time. Now is always the time, but now ever than before, as people are looking for something, we can give them Christ. And if you know John 3:16 and can simply quote that, that would be wonderful in and of itself. It doesn't have to be a half an hour message to someone personally. Just tell them John 3:16. It's amazing how many people will find out one day that verse saved alone. So let's pray. Father, help us to be ready anytime, in season, out of season, to give the gospel, to tell people about the baby that came and how he came for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's finish this part of the service by singing one more hymn here, and we'll sing two verses of it here. My faith has found a resting place. Let's stand and sing. Thank you for your good singing this morning.
Watch maybe some television. There's always sometimes they have celebrities or somebody come on and they're thankful for something. You notice they're not thankful to anybody. They're thankful for things. So often, if we're truly thankful, if we're thankful for the provider of the things that we have. And ultimately, our thanks is directed towards God. It's a holiday season, the Thanksgiving season. How often must we be thankful? Every single moment of every single day. We look at our weaknesses and we're faced with trials. We find out we need help. We need strength. And a thankful heart to God is a humble heart before God. And a humble heart before God will tap or be blessed with the all-sufficient grace of God in ever thankfulness. Thankful heart is also a heart of peace. Now, I have up there on this sermon title, Living in the Power of Thankfulness. We usually hear about living the power of God, which we do, living in the power of faith, which we do. But how about living in the power of thankfulness? Because the thankful heart, that humble heart before God, is the key to the rest. A thankful, truly heart. And when we ask ourselves, am I faithful or am I thankful? Sometimes we don't feel faithful. Maybe because of the redundancy of the help, maybe. I don't really feel faithful or thankful. But we need to be thankful. It's got to go beyond our emotion. It's got to be focused on God. So as we look at this morning's message, it's going to be challenging us to something we already know. And to be thankful, to truly be thankful. So before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and fill our hearts with thankfulness this day and each day, because you have really poured out an abundance. Help us to see that abundance through your eyes and understand the wonders that you have directed towards us in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Now, I want us to read this together. This is out of Psalm 100, and it's applicable to today. So we begin with verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. Think about that. I want that verse to go with you today, to think about entering his gates. We've entered his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Are we praising and thanking God each and every day? So before we start, the text we're going to look at, go to Ephesians chapter 1. In this Bible someplace. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to focus on one verse, and from that one verse it's going to blossom into a whole bunch of blessings. But if we look at verse 17 of chapter 1, and there's a lot in this whole chapter, we're looking at chapter 17, and it simply says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Now there's a mouthful there, but the Apostle Paul is praying for this church that they'd be filled with the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. What specific knowledge is he talking about? Well, that you will know the hope of his calling. There's a hope in God's calling. We're going to challenge you from the scriptures on that. But what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? He gets something out of this. His riches of glory in us, because we are his inheritance. We want to look at that a little bit. And then if we have time, what is the surpassing greatness of his power? We serve a powerful God, and he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrected Christ. Do you experience that as you move through your day? So let's look at this first thing. What's the hope of the calling of God? Well, the hope of the calling, hope in the Bible is expectant waiting. Something is coming, and we're waiting for it, so it's our hope. And so we have been called in hope, because what is the end of our calling? For those whom God predestinated, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. That, by the way, is the biblical definition of salvation. God's plan, God's call, God's glorification, justification, and ultimately glorification. That's salvation. That's the whole thing. That's a wonderful call. We have been called to be glorified with Christ. We have been called to be justified, to be sanctified, to be made holy, to stand with him in glory. And that concept is hard for us to understand because it's kind of spiritually abstract. Wait, what's it mean? Okay, justified, okay. What's it mean to be glorified? Those kinds of things. That's important, and we need to think through those and understand those. So what Paul wants us to know here is he wants us to be filled with wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of God. What is that all about? What is our calling all about? What's interesting about this, he introduces that topic in the first 18 verses. And well, let's see what's in the hope of our calling. What's involved in that call? Beginning with verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you know what that means? To be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's introducing this, what he's talking about, this call. We have been called to heavenly blessings. And God has blessed us with some spiritual blessing, every spiritual blessing. Does that move your heart to be thankful? Even though you may not understand what all those things are. Are we thankful for those kinds of blessings? As we move through 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. Is that something that moves us to be holy and blameless? As we live as Christians in this world and we find ourselves falling into sin or saying something we shouldn't have said or doing something we shouldn't have done that actually hurts other people, is usually what sin does. Sin is a relationship breaker. Selfishness is the head of the list there. If I'm selfish, my relationships will not be very good. And so we find ourselves, I don't like myself. I don't like being like this. I wish I'd never said that. All these things are part of understanding that God has chosen us to be holy and blameless before him in love. You need to think about that. I want to be holy and blameless. The only way I'm going to get there is I'm not going to make myself holy and blameless. It's got to come through the power of God. It comes first through the power of God's call. He's calling me to every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now he's choosing me to be holy and blameless before him in love. What a powerful promise, all part of this call. Verse 5, he has predestinated us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. What in the world is adoption all about? In Israel, God adopted them out of slavery in Egypt. And what did he do with them? He made them heirs to what? The promised land and the promised king, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's the adoption as far as Israel, and Paul plays off of that. Where were we? Saved out of the slave market of sin. Where are we going? We got this heavenly call, a place where we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And God has chose us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. That's where we're going. And you'll notice when we talk about these things, it's all about God. It's not about us. He's doing it according to the kind intention of his will. His desired purpose for us is that. Are we thankful for knowing just what those verses teach? We should. Now look at verse 7. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in his beloved, who is Jesus Christ. The grace of God, all this stuff is poured out on us by the grace of God, unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. He gave it to us. When Christ tells us to love our enemies, and that enemy comes into our life, God is teaching us how he loves us. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies, he reconciled us back to God. He is demonstrating the true power of love is loving the unlovable. Are we thankful for that power? Do we exercise that power? Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Are you thankful that you are forgiven of your sins? Are you thankful that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? You know, we have communion. I'm going to yell at people now. We have communion here once a month. Out of 280 saved people, we wind up with about 50. That will celebrate communion. Are we really thankful that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and then not come to any of his communion gatherings? He says as often as you drink it or eat it, you know, remember, do this in remembrance of me. That do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance in the Bible definition is a call to action. If you remember something, you do something. It's not just mental assent. Oh yeah, Jesus died for me. It's a call to action. When you come together at communion, and as the first century church was devoted to breaking of bread, what that teaches us is in that communion, it moves us to action. When we come together, forsake not yourself fellowship with one another. As you come together, you can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's why we come together, to move each other, to inspire each other, to encourage each other, to move in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. That's all part of this call, this process. And thankfulness is in there. Dear God, I thank you that you saved me because my life would have been totally, completely different than it is today. I know I'm not what I'm going to be, and I know you're patient with me, and I know you're working on me because you called me, and you've called me to be holy and blameless before you. You've called me to bless me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You have redeemed me with your precious blood, all according to your grace and your kind intention. That's a lot of stuff. Notice this. 9, he made known to me the mystery of his will according to his kind intention and purpose, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that he is summing up all things in Christ, things in heaven, things on earth. In him, we also have obtained an inheritance. What is said? We have a hope in front of you. Paul has paralleled hope with inheritance. Do we understand inheritance? If you have a rich relative and you know you're in line to get something. You know, something's coming. Something big's coming. Why have we, and this is why this adoption term I used a little earlier, Paul uses a little earlier, we have been adopted so that we are made heirs. We weren't children at one time, we were slaves, but Christ brought us into the child. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If we're children of God, then we're heirs, and if we're heirs, we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. All this stuff coming to us in this heavenly call is an inheritance that we have been blessed with because the work of Jesus Christ bringing us into the adoption as sons. Wow, I got loud. Do we realize the love that went to God, adopted us out of the slave market of sin, redeeming us with his precious blood, not with money, silver, or gold, but with his precious blood, which is serious? Are we thankful that Christ was willing to suffer and die to redeem us and make us co-heirs with Christ in glory? And all these things are all part of that call of God. And to this end, we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of will. What's that significance? We read in this psalm where it told us God is good. That's the goodness of God, because in his sovereign will, he has a good will. It's a good will. It's a good thing. It's a blessing for us. And whatever God's hand finds to do, it does it. You can't stay the hand of God. And his will is good. And so what we find in here is this inheritance is protected by God's will, his intention, his purpose. And that's not going to change. You have security in the will of God. And we need to be thankful for that. If I'm doing all this stuff, if I'm doing good works or I'm doing these things to gain my own salvation, it's going to be really inconsistency and I'm going to lose it every single day. But when we talk about the eternal security of God, we find it in his will. And it will not be broken. Can we undo what God has done? If you can, then you're mightier than God. And if God redeems you, if God chooses you to be holy and blameless before him in love, if God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, if he has done all this thing, how are you going to turn it around? Because the people who usually believe you lose your salvation are ones who are living in the flesh anyway and possibly aren't even saved. Because they're not, God redeems us. He does the work. We're the recipients of the work. Notice verse 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, he's going to tell you what that is, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, what happened to you? You heard it, you believed it, and what did God do? What's that verse tell you? He's sealed with what? Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing. We've got this inheritance. We've got this eternal life. We've got all these wonderful things coming to us from God. And it was when we, notice the gospel's there, when we listening to the message of the gospel of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him, sealed where? In him, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why is he the Holy Spirit of promise? Because he's promising that call to that inheritance, to that glory, to all those things, is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the power of God to keep us in that call. Notice what he says here. Who has given, verse 14, who has given, the Holy Spirit was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Who's God's own possession? We are. He bought and paid for us with his blood. Is God not a good tender of his possession? Well, I lost some of them. I don't know where they went. No, he keeps us. Because all of it comes about by the power of God, and we need to be thankful every day for that. We didn't do anything for our salvation. We were just the recipients of the mighty grace and power of God. And God not only blesses us with these things, he gives us the Holy Spirit to seal them, to secure them in these things. And it's because of this power we'll talk about as we get down through here. We are God's own possession. Israel in the Old Testament was called Segula, Hebrew word which simply means God's treasured possession. Israel was God's treasured possession. We are God's treasured possession. And keeping that in mind as this full unfolds. Verse 15, for this reason too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you, you love and your love for all the saints, I do not cease praying or giving thanks to you while making mention of you in prayer. Are we thankful to God for each other? We're thankful to God for all these blessings and all these things that he's done for us to secure our salvation and our future and hope. Do we pray for each other? Because each one of us has these same blessings. But some days are bad. Some days we get discouraged. Some days we feel weary. Some days we're beaten down. And we need to be praying for each other to help us realize the truth. And this is why Paul's praying this. I pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of God. We need to be reminded. We need to encourage each other in these things. They may seem quite theological, and they are, but they're really commonplace for a Christian. I need to know what God has done for me and the future he has secured for me by the power of the Holy Spirit of promise. And that takes thinking and meditating on it day and night and encouraging each other in it. So that brings us up to our inheritance, our calling. Paul says it's so important in Philippians that I don't look behind. I keep going forward, reaching for the goal, the upward call of God. That's where we're going. We get so sidetracked here on earth with the material things that come up. We live in a very materialistic society, and all of us are affected by it. We are constantly being bombarded by advertising, which does work, or they wouldn't do it. And yet, where's our real call? The upward call of God is beyond that. It's in the spiritual realm. It's in heavenly places. Colossians, Paul tells us, if you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things where Christ is. What a wonderful promise. But Paul, he's forgetting what leaves behind. You know what he's leaving behind? those things that were counted as an advantage to them, him, those things that he counted but loss for their surpassing value knowing Jesus Christ. He was a Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a, as to law, blameless. He was all these wonderful things, and in that day, he would have been a top admired spiritual person. But he counted those things all but lost because he recognized the call of God, the hope of the calling of God. Therefore, he's pressing on towards the goal. Day by day, he's not going to be deterred, and he's going to finally reach the upward call of God. He says, I haven't got to it yet, but he knows it's coming, and that's his drive. And he was moving in that direction. So then we come up to knowing the hope of his calling, and I encourage you to think about that. You have been called. God calls us not only in to be saved, but also to do things for him. I believe I was called to be a school teacher, football coach, wrestling coach, track coach, and a whole bunch of other things. But when you have a call behind you, it gives it a whole lot different. I'm called to do what God wants me to do. I'm here where God wants me to be. What do you want me to do? We need to answer that call and glorify God in it, because God has his people in all kinds of jobs, all kinds of vocations, all over the world, and witnessing the love of Jesus Christ. The hope of his calling is it's secure. The hope of it's eternal. The hope of his calling glorifies him. The hope of his calling gives us great security. And the hope of his calling is all bathed in love. Are we thankful for that calling? And the other side of the calling is, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance as the saints? I always wondered about this verse. The glory of his inheritance in us. What does he get out of the deal? You know, you got these. I want you to turn just for a moment to Isaiah chapter 53, where we usually go through the first part of chapter 53, but we don't go through the rest of it, and that shows you the hope of Christ's calling. Now, in inheritance, again, Israel had the promised land, they had the promised Messiah, and they had the promised nation to live in security, and so that was their inheritance, but Christ was the inheritance of his people. Notice what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself a guilt offering, he would see his offspring, he would prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord would prosper in his hands. So he's getting something out of dying for us. That word guilt offering, a guilt offering was if you committed a sin, you didn't remember that you did it. It was unintentional. You did something unintentional. You forgot to pay a vow. You forgot to do reparations. You tried to worship in an unclean state. It's a cover-all sin offering, which is called a guilt offering because you're guilty, and ignorance of the law is no excuse. You're guilty, you're guilty. So they did guilt offerings along with several other offerings to care for those sins. So Christ covers what sins? Not just the major ones, all sins, all unintentional sins. And that's what he's talking about. The Jews would have remembered that. But he put him to grief. If he would render himself a guilt offering, he would see his offspring. Who's the offspring of Christ? Us. Okay? He would prolong his days, and his days would go on. And the good pleasure of the Lord would prosper him. Prolong his days. What happened to Jesus? How did he redeem us? He died for us. The days didn't get prolonged, did they? They got stopped. The prolonged here is speaking of his resurrection. He prolonged his days. If he would do this, I would prolong his days. He'd see his offspring. He'd see the work of his love. And he'd see his days would be prolonged. Therefore, verse 11, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many as he bears their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great,
and will divide the booty with the strong, because he has poured out himself to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. You see that if he does something, he's going to receive something. Who does he receive? Us. We're in his inheritance. Now, it's kind of interesting. What's the glory of his inheritance in us? It's his work, his call, his justification, his glorification. All those things are all that work that he does in the sanctification process, the Holy Spirit's work in us, that is his riches of glory in us. And so we, therefore, are his inheritance. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's a beautiful verse. Have you experienced that kind of fellowship with God? Do you see how that fellowship came about as we look down through this hope of our calling and the glory of his riches, of his inheritance, and his saints are all working together? And I want you to think on that and meditate on that. God, Son, went to the cross, and that cross, was it fruitful or not? Very fruitful. And we're the fruit of the cross. And we should be thankful for that. To live in the power of thankfulness is to live in that very power, understanding what God has done for you and what he has done for me. And understanding that it was by his power that any of that came together. So as we are thankful in heart and offer thanks, sacrifices of thanksgiving to God for what he has done in us, that that humility of heart links us to the power of God, to the power of what God has done for us. If I'm a dissatisfied Christian, I'm not going to be happy and I'm not going to be content. I want to be content as I live my life. And I want to cry, I may have to cry out to God, make me thankful. Lord, I'm not feeling like I'm very thankful. It seems just a rote, dear God, thank me for this meal and I don't like it. Dear God, thank me for this, thank me for, or help me. I want to be thankful for this, but I'm not. Ask God to make you thankful, teach you about thankfulness. There's nothing wrong with that, to be taught whatever we do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ with thankfulness. I need to be thankful. Teach me how to be thankful, because we're always challenged with that area, because sometimes our thankfulness is really falls short of the attitude. But what I wanted to do today is to show you all of the things to be thankful for in our very salvation, in our very call. And through that, develop a thankful heart and praise unto God. To enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures for generations. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of information here today, and I can't even digest it all. Need to think more on it. But through it is the wonders of the wondrous deeds that you have done in our lives by calling us, by justifying us, and by glorifying us. That's huge. And we need to think on those things and meditate on those things. And from those things, develop a thankful heart, a content heart, a heart that's at peace with a God who loves us. Be with us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.